You could help him. You could log in and help him. No way to sugarcoat this one. Let's therapy together. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Losers Lounge. This is the Losers Lounge of all Losers Lounges, man. As the Nuggets get dominated by Joel Embiid and the 76ers in the second half. A collapse! My God, the vibes were so high at one point in this game. They were unbelievable.
They were high, then they were low.
An adjustment by Doc Rivers in the second half that was very interesting. Gives us a lot of stuff to talk about. Absolutely changed the entire texture of this game in the second
That's
half.
That's the thing, man. Losing to the 76ers is rough. But losing it partly because of a Doc Rivers coaching adjustment.
That's down real
that
bad.
That sticks the dagger even deeper, man.
We'll get to the good news first. We're presented as always by DraftKings Sportsbook. Dev, we made some money tonight.
Yeah, we made money tonight. Pretty much all of our bets hit.
All the bets hit, except for the money line. That was the only one. I got Brendan Vogt with me.
Well, that wasn't fun. I don't have much more than that. Hey, yeah. Philly did what they needed to do today. Embiid did what he needed to do.
Yep, you tip your hat to him. Over here, I got Harrison Wind.
We'll see if I can make it through this post-game show with my voice. Just coming off the watch-along, man. I've been talking for 3 hours straight, so.
I won't throw it to you too
we'll
often.
See. Yeah. No, you can still throw it to
you
me.
You can be
please.
The decoy.
Please throw it to me.
Then over here, I got Superstar Dev.
I flew too close to the sun. I flew way too close to the sun. There were some ups in that game. It was fun. Then it got sad.
Then it got big sad. D-Line may be joining a little bit later. He's an uncle. He's not a dad. You know, the uncle, the birthday parties, he's going to be there. When the bad report card comes in,
You don't have enough room for all of us. I was gracious enough to give Dev my seat.
Very gracious.
I was saying, when the report card comes in and it's time for the tough talk, uncle's out of there. Uncle's not hanging around. The time to mow the grass, Uncle's like, hey, man, it's not my grass. I just hang out here. I have some beers. No, he'll be joining us here in a little bit. So he'll pick up the we're going to get big sad, and then he'll come in and tickle us all. Just like, he'll
giggle
be the good
us
uncle
back
and
to happiness.
Give us some raspberries, some belly bows. Let's get a quick recap in here real quick, guys, just to run through it. To start this game, Jokic missed his first jumper, and then Embiid comes down and gets an and one on Jokic. It felt like, oh, God, that was the worst possible start. But yep. Then it was all Nuggets after that for the rest of the half. Jokic drew a foul on Embiid. Jokic stripped Embiid twice on some jumpers. MPJ hit two threes. He had it going early on. Harden kept trying to ISO MPJ out of a timeout. It's one of my notes that we have. There's some big picture stuff in this one. Once we set the emotion aside, once we get through that part of it, there's actually some big picture stuff that I think we should talk about. Harden going after MPJ is one of them. Jokic hit a three. Nuggets were rolling in the Harrell minutes. Once Embiid went to the bench, Nuggets boosted that lead way up. Then Embiid comes back in kind of early, actually, Dev. It's not his usual. They brought him back kind of quick, like, all right, we can't play Harrell. Jokic draws a second foul on Embiid. The quarter ended. Dever was dominating. The quarter ended with Embiid hitting back-to-back threes, and it kept him in it. Embiid was knocking. His jumper, he was feeling it tonight. 38-29 Nuggets. Zeke in at backup center, not DeAndre as I had predicted. Murray helps one pass away, gives up a three. Michael Malone called a timeout 17 seconds into the quarter. Yeah. I thought it was to tell him to not help one pass away. They kept helping one pass away, so I don't know. Zeke missed a wide open layup and was getting destroyed. Early on in the Zeke minutes, I was like, my God, he is throwing the towel. Oh, my God, he's getting murdered. But Zeke did make a couple hustle plays later on to kind of save that. Nuggets only lost those minutes by three. Flagrant foul on Bruce on a three-point contest was a killer. Absolute killer, man. Like, it didn't look malicious. He tried to contest. Unfortunate, his foot goes there. It's just the way the NBA is right now. I honestly believe if you have to run out at a shooter, you just have to run him off the line and jump to the side. There's no point. Honestly, it's too risky trying to, like, truly contest the shot. It's just not worth it, I think, when
That's
you look at the numbers. But then the Nuggets started murdering again. To end the half, it got close for a moment there, and you're like, all right, now how you close quarters is how you win games. Denver closed so strong, getting exactly what they wanted and getting defensive stops. 73-58, Nuggets up 15 points at the half. Jokic, to that point, I thought outplayed Joel Embiid. Joel Embiid made his shots, but Jokic was getting everything he wanted the Nuggets offense to get in that half, and defensively, Embiid was only getting jumpers. He wasn't getting anything else. Denver was doing a great job of controlling the game, and they were up 15. At the half, Doc Rivers made two very interesting and important adjustments. The first one was, of course, that he put He took Embiid off of Jokic, which is crazy. If Denver would have won this game, guys, even if Embiid had 47 points, I would have had a lot of things to say about how can you ever take a great defensive player off of a guy and say, hey, we're going to put a 6'5 guy on because it's better. Honestly, this was in many ways damning of the 76ers and of Joel Embiid's defense, except it absolutely freaking worked. It worked like magic to put Embiid as the back line. We've seen this, by the way, with Gobert, Bam Adebayo. Like, we've seen this with all the good defensive bigs in the league. Every teams have tried this. Nurkic has not guarded him for periods. I never thought we'd see it with Embiid, but they did it, and it worked, to their credit. They also put a lot of size on Jamal Murray. They ran Tobias Harris on Jamal Murray, and they ran Matisse Thybulle on Jamal Murray, and Murray had no response in this game. I don't know if it was lack of focus or if the size just disrupted him, but either way, those two adjustments completely stymied Denver. 5-0 run to start. Murray landed on his elbow hard. Nuggets get a timeout. They come out of the timeout and actually get a couple plays. And Malone, remember, P.J. Tucker was being super physical with Jok inside. Didn't get a foul call, what I thought was a clear one. Jok was pissed. Malone yells at the refs, and then he gets a soft call on Tucker. It actually worked, and then Tucker picked up a tech. So a little bit of techs back and forth of people trying to tell the refs how this game was supposed to be officiated. But then where the game was really lost, the Nuggets were up 15 points, you guys. 15 points, man, with 2 minutes and 27 seconds left in the third quarter. They had survived the adjustment, survived the blow. All they needed was to stay focused. I thought Jamal Murray to end this quarter was as bad in terms of focus as you could possibly be. Remember the play, him dribbling behind his back, circling under the bat, just dancing with the ball, and then ends up heaving up a shot at the end of the shot clock because he wasted the entire possession. Just so unfocused that they went from up 15 with 2:27 to up just 2 points heading into the fourth quarter, including a Joel Embiid rip-through move 90 feet from the basket that Bruce Brown somehow fell for. Just a killer. Like, honestly, if you look at this game, Denver did a good job. That stretch is a killer.
Yep.
Fourth quarter starts with a Murray knee-to-knee. He took a knee-to-knee on, with Thybulle, got a knee-to-knee. No foul, but just an unlucky play. Jeff Green had no intensity in this game is one of my notes. There were just multiple plays where he wasn't ready, including the and one where he didn't even make an impact, just gave an and one.
I thought it was unacceptable, actually. Yeah. Yeah.
And then a backbreaker of a three. I thought Denver was like, all right, there were so many minutes where it's like you played all these, did all these bad things, but you're still in it. You could win it. One of those plays was you get down to 1 second left on the shot clock. Bruce Brown blocked James Harden. 1 second on the shot clock. I think it was Jamal Murray too, but somebody just fell asleep on the inbound play, gives Niang a wide open three, and he hits it. A backbreaker. You did everything. You were right there. You just needed to stop their momentum to give them a buzzer beater three from a role player in that moment was just an absolute killer. Also a killer, Embiid hit all of his mid-range jumpers in the fourth quarter, minus two
could
of them
miss
down the stretch. He did miss two, but he was hitting them, and then he hit a three. And then with Denver down, I think, 3 points, down five, Michael Porter got a wide-open three at the elbow off of a great offensive possession. Misses it. You go the other way. Tobias Harris gets an open three. He hits it. That was the game. KCP did hit a big three. You thought, okay, maybe there's a chance. Joel Embiid with a step-back three to all but clinch it and to get the crowd going. Hat tip, Embiid absolutely dominated Jokic in the second half. If you scored the first half like a boxer, I would say it was 10-9 Jokic. He had the upper hand. If you did the second one, it was 10-7. Second half was 10-7. Absolutely dominant. All right, Dev, that's what happened. Give us your big takeaway.
My biggest takeaway in this game was Embiid versus Jokic. Like you said, it's a hat tip to Embiid in this game. He finishes with 47 points, 18 rebounds in this game. And heading into this game, it was much talk about this being his Super Bowl, this being something that meant a lot to him. He played like it in every single way. Took 31 shots in the game, took over, took advantage of mismatches. Where on the other side, Jok played his regular game. It didn't look like it meant as much to him. And you just want him to get into that competitive spirit, into that type of mindset. So this was a game, clearly, that Embiid out-dueled Jokic in, and hopefully there's lessons on Jokic's side of that's how I need to come and play.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, man, I agree. Like, that's has to do with my big takeaway as well. I think this game was lost in that third quarter. I think it was lost when Denver gave up that 15-point lead. Jamal Murray had a lot to do with that. But then down the stretch in the fourth quarter, when Joel Embiid was going off, like, Nikola Jokic had no answer.
He had no answer for him. And, I mean, you just look at Jokic's second half stats. 8 points, 2 of 5 shooting, 4 rebounds, 4 assists, 6 turnovers. He wasn't very good in the second half. He let P.J. Tucker dictate this fourth quarter, I felt like. And, like, that can't happen, man. You can't let P.J. Tucker do that to you. So I'm probably going to get canceled in Serbia. But, man, I was disappointed with Nikola Jokic down the stretch of this game. Like, Joel Embiid wanted it. The game was there for the taking. He took it. And Nikola Jokic seems like he just kind of just let it happen.
Here's where he took it, was he took it on jumpers. And part of me, like, tries to think of the logic of all of this. You know, Embiid hitting jumpers to me is like an okay. He beat you one way there. He's not going to get to the line. Nobody else is eating, whatever. And we've seen this, like, this has been Jokic's strategy now last year when they won in Philly and now this year where they lost, yeah. Where it was like he's going to give him that and he's going to swipe at it and he's going to try to mess with him. But if he hits his shot, so be it. You could still win even when he's hitting. So part of me is the defensive part of this I'm almost less concerned about.
Yeah, it wasn't even mostly the defense. I feel like it was more Jokic's offense. He was so passive, like yeah. So timid. The entire Nuggets team was, and I feel like they just kind of followed Jokic's lead in that respect.
I thought he looked a little shook in the second half. I never see him sort of mess up the calculation of, I'm in the floater zone, like Aaron Gordon's in the dunker spot. Is this an alley?
He missed it up a few times.
There were a couple of times where he just, look, let's be frank, Embiid's presence, I think, threw him off a little bit. You tip your hat.
But this is why the adjustment's big, is because it wasn't Embiid guarding him, it was Embiid patrolling the paint.
Precisely, and that was the aspect that I thought Jokic overthought.
And then there were even a couple examples where Jokic had a lane to the rim, he had a floater to take, and he looked, you know, for Aaron Gordon on the dump off and stuff. It was rare because Jokic is usually so aggressive in these big moments, I feel like, and just wasn't today.
I'm with you all the way. I co-sign that. For me, my big takeaway, like, Embiid outplayed Jokic. I thought Doc outcoached Malone today. Yeah. And the Jeff Greenman is, to me, I rarely do this after one game. But you get yourself in a lot of trouble when you're fired up after a loss and you're like, I've got a reactionary take. I'm good on the Jeff Green minutes. I'm good.
He doesn't have intensity to him, you know? Like, he plays like a guy that really manages his own emotions in a way that maybe is healthy for him. But like in a game like this, you want to be like, it's the foxhole. Everybody, we're going to the mattresses. And for him, he just couldn't be bothered on some of these. I mean, he had one rebound, I think, in 19 minutes tonight. And there was a bunch that were for him that were not 50-50. They were like Jeff Green's chance to grab a rebound. He just didn't even try for it. And you're thinking, guys, this game's going to come down to a razor's edge.
It can't be effort. Like, Bruce Brown was bad today. Yeah. He played hard.
Yeah, yeah.
Jeff Green didn't play hard. And it's like, hey, man, this is the one game that you have to check in for in the regular season. And also, for whatever I don't understand from my couch about how demanding it is to be a pro athlete, Jeff Green gets paid a lot of money to care about the minutes he gets. And if he doesn't, like, let's give him to Vlatko, because I think Vlatko cares. And yeah. This is just one game. My bigger picture takes are not thrown off. Nothing's off course. But if Jeff can't get up for this one, then I'm good. Like, yeah. I'm good.
I think for me, my big takeaway is, you know, this game reminded me of Peyton Manning bad playoff game. You know, Peyton Manning, just when he knows what the game plan is and it's working, like, he just is picking, like, every pass you're like, my God, this guy's a genius. Nobody's on his level. But a team throws something at him that confuses him. All of a sudden you see him making really weird passes and taking sacks and stuff. That was Peyton Manning's MO throughout his career. To me, that was Jokic in this game. They made an adjustment that Denver was not prepared for. And some of this is not on Jokic. It's on, as you pointed out, Michael Malone, the coaching staff. And by the way, I think more than as a sneaky amount on Jamal Murray, who has to be the guy that breaks you when you have the opportunity to run this. But nonetheless, with Jokic, a lot of this was he just looked confused. And we rarely see him confused. Yeah. He was thrown off by this adjustment. It's clearly not one they were prepared for.
Yeah.
And it's one that is funny because Denver has seen this defense before. I thought they should have ran Aaron Gordon more as the ball handler. If Embiid's going to guard him, then make him go out on the perimeter and guard out on the perimeter. They didn't do that stuff today. They weren't prepared for it, and their offense got stuck in the mud.
That's weird that they weren't prepared for it. I mean, I feel like preparing for this game, you would think that'd be something Philly could do. Like, they have P.J. Tucker. He's a really good defender. He's defended big men in the past. But, yeah, Doc Rivers made that adjustment, and Denver's entire offense was just thrown off from that point forward.
You do need to go. I do think, though, you need to get Jamal Murray in these moments. And one of them is, if you're not going to have a big in a pick and roll with Jokic and Murray, then you need to murder. You need to absolutely feast on those. And Murray, sure, again today, just for whatever reason, was on his heels. So when the game mattered most, he kind of felt like it was in the bag. We've seen that. This is my biggest thing about Jamal Murray is he is a star player. He has superstar talent. And I hate that he doesn't tap into it more often.
Yeah.
And tonight, this is the biggest thing. Is like, Jokic, I'm not trying to let him off the hook. He was bad. Those passes were bad. He should have shot more. He should have demanded more. And I honestly think he was confused. But there's this other layer of PJ Tucker's guarding the pick and roll right now, Murray. Get to your spot, get a jumper, and just punish them to where it feels helpless that they're like, what are we doing guarding this guy like this? We shouldn't do it. He wasn't interested, though.
Yeah. Jamal did not have it in this one. And it was the energy from, like, the opening tip. We've seen small spurts in the game where it did look like he had it, but the aggression was not there. The competitive spirit that's usually there wasn't there. And then also, he continued to get banged up throughout the game. There was a lot of moments that he's on the ground or he's taking a chest. I mean, an elbow to the chest or a knee to the leg. And I think that just took away from that. But like you said, especially with Jokic kind of being passive in a way, it was on Jamal to be able to be aggressive and try to get himself going, especially with the defense all locked in on just trying to slow down Jokic. I think he understood this is a game that I'm going to have to scoop back in, let other people get involved. Jamal's shot was not falling, not getting to his spots down low, and just bad decision making. And I felt like it went throughout the game. So, yeah, this was a game that Jamal could have stepped in and been the guy, and I think that would have changed the outcome of the game.
I think he's also hurt. I mean, part of this was he was questionable coming into it. He was probably a little
so
banged up.
So was Joel Embiid.
So was Joel Embiid. So was Jokic. Like, a lot of guys, I think, are banged up in this game. But, you know, some players stepped up. Joel Embiid, obviously, chief among them. I do think, though, this is a huge narrative driver. And this is rightfully so. Embiid kicking Jokic's ass to the degree that he did. And then having the highlight plays, the dunk, the step back,
the
three,
dagger, yeah,
the dagger, like having those, I do feel like this will have ripple effects for the upcoming weeks. This isn't one that's like over the weekend this happened. I think it's like narrative shifter now.
Oh man, this is going to be the most memorable game of the season for the 76ers, most likely.
But I think in the NBA,
yeah,
like Monday,
I wouldn't be surprised.
Monday's conversation.
Oh,
when we talk about
it's
MVP,
this game. It's the MVP race.
Yeah.
Has Joel Embiid passed Nikola Jokic? And you know what, man? If you want to have that take right now,
you
I'm not going to oppose
it. You
Dude,
get it.
This is the time to have that take. And I don't know if you're completely wrong. Like, Philly fans, this is your time to go crazy. We'd be going crazy if we were on the other side of it. So
honestly, if they
I can't fault them.
If the Nuggets would have just pulled this out, the idea of taking Embiid off of Jokic to me is so big that it would have been like, seal this one up. This one's over. But again, because the adjustment worked, it went the other way. Yeah. It's like, hey, it's actually smart to take Embiid off Jokic.
Yeah.
I'm upset about this. Is to go back to Jokic. That adjustment should not have worked. And it was because of Jokic's lack of aggression. You're not supposed to put a forward on him. You're not supposed to put a small forward on him. If he goes and attacks that, they're going to have to force a double team. They're going to have to force a center back on him. But it was because he's now trying to adjust. Now he's trying to read what's happening. And also, they caught him a lot of times on things that he usually does make. The backdoor steals, that's a Jokic special where he hits his guy. He didn't in this game. Floater over the top because the double team is slow, that's a Jokic special. He didn't have that in this game. Making sure that he punishes the fact that you made that. He didn't, and it made it easy for Jamal Murray to not be aggressive as well. Made it easy to where now Michael Porter Jr. is not getting all of the shots. He was knocking down shots in this game, and the ball did not find him anymore. Aaron Gordon just doing lobs the entire time. So this was also on the fact that Jokic did not try to punish them in the ways that you expected the MVP, the back-to-back MVP, to punish them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I do think the size also affected Murray. Again, just being able to put the mobile length on him, I thought really flustered him today. Maybe it was just the injury. I don't know.
But then, like, that's true, right? No doubt. But then leaves the tech free throw on the board.
Right.
You know, the two-man finds him an open three that he's got to just take. No. he's going to wait till the defense catches up and then counter. Right. And like, there are ways that he can take what's open that, to me, I honestly think this is the difference between the Jamal we know and an all-star, a guy that's going to make the all-star game.
Yeah.
There's 6 to 8 points, 1 to 2 assists every night that was the easy stuff that he kindly declines. And he's so good at so much of the hard stuff that it's like, did he play a terrible game? No. But in that stretch, he did as much.
It was a 13-0 run.
It was damning.
That's like,
and it was,
you can't
a lot
do
of
it, man.
Was,
yeah.
It can look so disconnected when it's not directly connected to Jokic.
Right.
They've got the two-man game, and then sometimes this year it seemed like Jamal's other stuff is like so disconnected from what they want to do. And it's awesome when he's hitting the shots, but like, I don't know, man. His approach was all over the place
today. And that also has to do why I'm just like so disappointed in Joker, because there was too much Jamal Murray in the fourth quarter, like down the stretch in this game. Nikola Jokic like had to take control of the team at that point and be like, all right, like this is what we're running. Like this was a leadership moment, I think it could have been, for Nikola Jokic, where he just could have taken control of the game and what Denver was doing on offense and just how the Nuggets were going to play out the rest of this fourth quarter. And he just kind of was like, all right, I guess this is what we're doing. Yeah. I guess.
Yeah. Let's do in segment two, let's take a report card on all the others. Which role players stepped up in this game and were there, and which ones were not? We'll do that in segment two.
Guys, Breckenridge Brewery, the official beer of DNVR. Yes, podcast number 5 of the week. They are doing a Nuggets giveaway. They're doing the ultimate game day experience giveaway. This is a really cool offer from Breck. So they're hooking some Nuggets fans up, two of you guys, with courtside tickets, row 2, Lexus Club access, free food and drink the entire game, a parking pass, and DNVR gear for a game on March 30th versus the New Orleans Pelicans. How you enter this sweepstakes, go to thednvr.com/BreckSweeps, thednvr.com/BreckSweeps, and complete the form to enter. Must be 21 plus. The links to this are also in the show description. Winners will be selected 1 week before each game. But this is an awesome opportunity. The ultimate game day experience giveaway courtesy of Breckenridge
Brewery.
This
is the coolest giveaway I think we've ever done. Literal courtside seats and Lexus Lounge.
Lexus Club. I've never sat in the Lexus Club.
Me neither.
I want to one day.
This thing is huge, man. You guys, don't be dumb. Sign up. It's free.
Yeah, it's free. 2 tickets, March 30th against New Orleans.
I mean, it's not going to be like... It's a good game, too. People applying, you know? Like, I mean, we'll probably get a couple hundred. Like, your odds are pretty good.
Yeah.
Relative to most raffles.
Yeah. Get in on this for sure. For sure. Also, guys, the...
Get your friend to sign up, too, because then you have twice the...
Yeah, double your
odds.
You're
like, hey, but if you do this, you take me.
Yeah. Make sure you get them to sign a contract with that so they don't back out on you. The American Raptors. Guys, if you want to check out some rugby here in Denver at Infinity Park, check out the American Raptors. They've joined a new league. The Columbia Rugby Federation. It's an intercontinental competition featuring 6 teams from South America. The Raptors are the only North American team in the competition, so they're going to play 6 matches at home, 6 matches on the road. Free tickets at Infinity Park for all these matches. Stay up to date with all the news around the Colorado Raptors move to the brand new Super Rugby Americas by following on at DNVR Rugby. Colton Stricker will be keeping you updated with weekly podcasts and regular content. The American Raptors, they play at Infinity Park. Check them out.
All righty, back here, segment 2. Let's go through now all the other guys that were out here. Aaron Gordon, Dev, what'd you see from him tonight? 18 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists.
This was a good game from him, like a really good game. Efficient, worked hard, did all the small things, and that's why he's our DraftKings king of the game. He just works hard every single time. You know what you're getting from him. The intensity is going to be up every single time. He's now scoring the ball at a high level and very efficient. We're given a report card.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it was an A-minus for him, for me, in this game.
Okay.
For AG. Yeah.
I'll give AG an A, man. I love the game that Aaron Gordon played. I loved how strong he tried to finish around the rim the entire game. Like, when he was getting those dump-off passes from Jokic and Embiid was at the rim, he was going up and trying to dunk on Embiid.
Yeah.
I love that. So I give him an 8. 8 of 10. Played within himself. Didn't really take many bad shots.
A for me.
He is our DraftKings Sportsbook's king of the game. We are going to give it to him. What?
We did that.
Did we already pull it up?
Def said it.
I just already pulled it up. There you go.
I just pulled a me.
What do you got?
For Gordon, I'm going to say B plus. Maybe A minus. I mean, I have the same note for him as I do for another player, which we'll get to. I didn't think he played enough.
Yeah, he did not.
Particularly given how poorly some forwards played off the bench, I thought one
Malone's
of the two.
Malone's so weird with this stuff, man. Like, why 29 minutes for Aaron Gordon, 29 for Michael
and
Porter,
and
again,
Porter.
You got 38 minutes for Jokic, 39 for Murray. Like, you really clearly realize that it's important to play these guys heavy minutes
what
here.
What was weird was his first half rotation was a playoff game, must win,
right,
on the road rotation where Jokic played the entire first quarter.
Right.
But then you look at the box here and you're like, wow, the bench actually kind of played a lot for how I thought this game was going from a rotation aspect.
Yeah, there were multiple points in the second half where you're looking around going, all right, who's ready to play today? Who's ready to make a difference? And neither of those two guys are on the floor. And it's like, why?
Yeah.
Why?
So Michael Porter we'll go to next. He was 7 of 11, including 5 of 9 from 3. Porter does run a little hot and cold. We always talk about this. Porter is the most, like, can hit 4 threes in a quarter and then miss the rest of the game. Like, that doesn't happen with too many players. But nonetheless, he went 5 of 9. He was a game high plus 8 in his minutes. 20.6 rebounds. No other stats recorded. Dev?
I'm going to give him an A. I really did wish that he did a bit more in the second half where they just found him. But I feel like he started the game like so well, and that's with a lot of other outside, you know, things on his mind.
Right.
This is his first game back, and he did not get too high, did not get too low. Also, I do feel like they did try to attack him in a lot of situations, especially James Harden. I don't feel like this was the same type of ways that it was in the past where they're attacking him and they're succeeding every single time, or they're putting him in spots where he can't hold his own. I feel like he held his own in this one. So I do think that this was a pretty good game from Michael Porter Jr. And if he finishes or has that same intensity a second half, this is an excellent game from him.
Yeah, man. I'll go A minus just because he did go 5 of 9 from 3. So it's kind of hard to hate on that percentage. But man, there were a couple just wide open threes in the second half that you felt like Denver needed so badly that he missed.
That's the thing is, this game was a 7-point game, and there was like no fewer than a dozen plays that could have just changed at any moment, both directions. Like, the KCP three was big and got Denver back into it, but there were so many other ones throughout there where you're like, okay, this is going to change it if this happens, and so many of them came up poorly for Denver. Yeah.
That being said, though, this being his first game back, and like looking as locked in as he did, especially in that first quarter, I mean, he came to play, so I can't hate on him that much.
But I'm going to throw this one to you, and it's the harder question with you. I do think that in a lot of the key moments, like we've seen a lot, they Harden, Embiid, pick and roll, they're going to try to get Porter in that one. Now, it wasn't as pronounced
as that his fault, though?
I'm just telling you that this is like what teams are going to try to do.
Yeah, and they went to it, and I didn't think I saw so much of that today where I was like, oh, boy. Like, put my head under the covers.
But honestly, saw it more in the second quarter than the fourth. And Denver was making their run then. So.
Right. So I didn't think that was necessarily what cost them, but you're right. I mean, it's much like Bones and Jeff with the bench. Like, Jokic and Porter, they're going to go right at them.
And out of timeouts, you can always tell where a team thinks their advantages are. One of the big timeouts that when they came out of it, it was like a Harden ISO. They were trying to get him to ISO him.
But I thought, you know, defensively is like a C. Offensively, I'd give him an A. I liked his drives. The floater over Embiid was nice. To me, I think, like, this team, him, the point guards, the coaching staff need to sit down and figure out how the hell does a guy get that hot to start the game and we don't hear from him until the rest? Like, I know he needs to hit that shot in the fourth quarter. I know. But that was also the most in-rhythm shooter on the floor that didn't take a shot for, like, 20 minutes.
This is what I mean about trying, like, when a team puts Embiid on somebody else,
you've got
to start putting him in compromising spots. So one of this is he's going to guard Aaron Gordon where he's not going to respect the three-point shot. But you can run actions that make him compromise where he feels like he has to switch onto Michael Porter. And like, now are you going to rim protect or are you going to guard Porter? And we're going to have a guy who's 5 of 9 in the game go. But Denver didn't have that today.
It was like when the going got tough for Denver today, they just resulted to the Jokic-Murray two-man game or trying to get Jokic in the post against PJ Tucker. Like, in the first half, remember how
nicely the ball was popping.
Yeah.
Like, the ball was moving. And then Denver kind of tensed up. And they're like, all right, two-man game. Like, right. That's all we got. And that's right. When Michael Porter fades to the background.
Right.
Yeah. KCP, I'll let you go first on this one, Vo. KCP had 8 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 steals. He was a +5, and he had a couple big defensive plays on Harden.
Yeah, I would say B-minus, B. It was more or less what you needed KCP to do. I mean, you could have asked for a little more, but in a world where the stars step up, you're looking at this and probably saying, yeah, that's why you want KCP in this matchup. Harden hit some big-time shots throughout this game, but I thought for the most part, it was not the same thing as the old days of, like, what is Denver going to do with James Harden? I thought KCP was good enough. That three was big. I did hate that one kind of forced mid-range shot he took, but he's had so few of those this season. I'm like, yeah. I thought he was pretty good.
I'll give him an A. Like, they got to find a way to get KCP some more three-pointers, man. Only 2 of 4 from three. The guy's like a 50% three-point shooter.
Yeah.
Find a way to get him some more looks.
And then if we go to the bench, we already talked about Jeff Green. Zeke Nagy only 10 minutes tonight. We'll just go to Bruce Brown. 7 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists. What do you got for him, Dev?
I'll say C+. Yeah. I do think that there was like some great rotations from him. I think that he does a great job of filling holes, even though it doesn't show up on the box score, where he's helping out a lot of guys. I do think that his lows were pretty low. And also there were situations that he should have scored on that he did not. We didn't see that same type of getting out on the fast break and finishing or great decision making in that part. But the defense is always going to have him on the court, have him in great situations, and it just helps Denver having him.
Yeah. And then Bones Highland Harrison, 11 points, 1 rebound, 2 assists, 1 steal, 2 block shots, 4 of 10 shooting.
I'll give him a B. I thought Bones was okay today. Could have been better, but...
The threes, man. I just, like, he's been off a little bit lately. 1 of 6, yeah. And he had some good looks.
Yeah, but didn't really make any mistakes. Zero turnovers. Had a couple really nice finishes. The 2 blocks. I thought Bones was fine today.
He didn't stick out necessarily defensively in a bad way or anything like that.
No, he was
that.
Fine. B. Yeah.
I'd probably say C+ for Bones. I would go much lower on Bruce.
Were you?
Bruce had some mistakes today. I thought Bruce was just like so loud.
I thought
he was
like a D+, C-
Some
today.
Just
yeah.
bad basketball IQ mistakes.
Yeah, it's like uncharacteristically poor the way he was bad.
Let's take a break on the other side. We'll swap D-line in here. Say goodbye to Dev. Swap D-line in here. He can give us his read on the game.
Guys, when you get hurt, Backus and Shanker is here to help. Backus and Shanker wins. For Colorado families, they help those who are seriously injured in Colorado and have been doing it for 25 years. The coolest thing about Backus and Shanker is you don't pay them any money until they win your case.
Yeah.
And then that's the only way you pay them money is if they win your case.
And that means the case pays them the money.
There you go. No upfront fees to speak with them about your case. No fee while they work on your case. And then you only pay them when they win. Backus and Shanker, they've won over $1 billion for their clients. They serve all of Colorado, including neighborhood offices in Denver, Aurora, Englewood, and Fort Collins. They've got 30 lawyers on staff, 100 staff members. Backus and Shanker helps with all kinds of injury cases where you weren't at fault. Car accidents, motorcycle, rideshare, pedestrians, trucks. They can even help you if you're injured at work. Call us. They have the easiest phone number to remember. 222-2222.
Hold on. Let me see if I can remember.
Just start mashing the number 2.
Just hit the number 2.
And
until,
you'll get through to Backus
until you,
and Shanker. Yeah,
until you've got Shanker on the phone.
Or Backus.
Or Backus.
Yeah. Backus and Shanker, all they do is win. Also at DraftKings Sportsbook this week, guys. NBA action, of course. We won all our bets.
I know.
Somehow today.
This is the thing. Like, if you really want to understand like what sports betting can do for you, should be miserable and miserable. Yeah. $100.
Take your shot at turning buckets into big cash with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. They are my go-to for hoops action. Looking for an even bigger payout? Take their shot at Friday night favorites. All you have to do is go to the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Opt-in, place a select 2-leg pregame moneyline parlay, get a 50% profit boost.
Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Sign up with code DNVR. New customers bet $5 on the NBA. Get $200 in free bets instantly. That's code DNVR. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details.
All right, back here, segment three, and we got D-Line joining
us.
Hey,
what's up, guys?
You were listening to the show over there as you were wallowing in pity. All right. give us your thoughts.
All right. The Denver Nuggets played a picture-perfect first half of basketball, exactly what you wanted to see out of them. They were controlling the game. Nikola Jokic was in his bag. He was the maestro. Joel Embiid was settling for jumpers and wasn't that effective. And then the third quarter happened, and the Sixers came out with something to prove. They came out right off the bat, erased the lead that the Nuggets had built up almost immediately. And then the Nuggets just kind of, they started.
They punched back. Denver was actually up 15 again in the third. After blowing the lead, they actually built it again.
Yes. And it was, I believe, the end of the third quarter that ultimately turned the tide in this game. Jamal Murray had just an atrocious about three or four possession stretch that just turned. I mean, he was dribbling the air out of the ball. Things that, like, you get complaints about for like Bones Highland or Will Barton for, like, he was just sort of like freelancing, not making the shots, and the Nuggets got discombobulated. And then the most troubling thing of all is that down the stretch, Nikola Jokic did not show up. Nikola Jokic was passive. Nikola Jokic got the ball stolen from him more than one time, which is things we have seen in the past. What has happened to Joel Embiid?
Seven turnovers total.
Six
in the second half, yeah.
That's Nikola Jokic is my favorite human being on planet Earth, but you got it. Like, he didn't play to the level he needed to today.
Yep.
He sort of settled in early with a style of play that he kept up the entire way, which worked in the first half. But in the second half and coming down the stretch, the Nuggets looked shook to me. They didn't quite know what they were doing. They weren't playing with confidence.
I mean, I think this was this is a basketball thing. Like, oftentimes we're talking about the emotional part of it. I think this was a basketball. They couldn't solve the basketball problem that Philly threw at them.
Yeah, which is, you know, it's troubling because this is one of these things where you're going to run into this in, for example, a playoff matchup where both teams have solved one another and then you just need your big hitters to hit big, you know. And Jamal Murray was okay, not great today. And Nikola Jokic was pretty good today. But Joel Embiid wanted this so much more, and he really came and he snatched it from him. Like, it was not what I wanted to see, but it's what we got.
It is what we got. Who are you most mad at?
I am pretty disappointed in Jamal Murray. I am disappointed in Nikola Jokic. I'm not mad, but like Jeff Green was like, what are we doing, man?
Yeah.
It's sort of not
mad because it's kind of expected.
Yeah, man. So it's like, is this Michael Malone? Like, I don't
you
know.
You can be mad at Michael Malone's bench, I think.
Yeah. It just
his rotation.
I also feel very strongly that this is like kind of what we saw from the Boston Celtics when they rolled into Ball Arena, or any of these big teams when they roll into Ball Arena. Like, you just lose games on the road sometimes. It shouldn't be expected that you're going to win. Like, we've said this, like, in a playoff series, like, you expect to lose your games on the road. Home court advantage matters because you're expected to win the games on your home court. The Nuggets played today in a way that, like, if they showed me that they can beat the 76ers, but they also showed me that the gap is not what I thought it was between these two teams.
Good take.
I mean, I didn't think the gap was going to be very big to begin with, to be honest with you. I will say this. You have to be encouraged by what you saw in the first half of this game, which was Denver just rolling. I really do think this comes down to they got thrown a wrench that they, for some reason, just could not crack that code to that. And I think some of this had to do with the 76ers rally back and Nuggets push it back up to 15. And I think some of this was, oh, we figured it out. We got over that hump, whatever. And you just get on your heels just a little bit. I mean, I think the Nuggets approached this game like a playoff game. They had the intensity. They built a big lead twice.
Yep. Yep.
And it was that second one where they kind of just took this emotional exhale. And, you know, Joel Embiid didn't ever take an exhale. In fact, I think he got more he used his nervousness in a positive way, because when they got down 15, he started taking shots. He started, like, pressing, and it was a good thing for him, whereas Denver is kind of like, all right, it's run the clock out time, and it evaporated like that. I am encouraged, though, by Denver and what they were able to do, and I don't think that putting, like, if these two teams match up again, they're going to play each other again here in a month, they match up again. I don't think that P.J. Tucker on Jokic and Bede roaming is going to work again. That is a thing that Denver should be able to solve. It's just disappointing they didn't solve it at all today, tonight.
And that's the thing about a playoff series, right? And we know we've seen Jokic in enough of them. He's a gather data adjust guy in a seven-game series. And it's always frustrating in a single-game setting in the regular season when a playoff defense is deployed. And it's like, okay, this one, it's rare we see it. It caught him. It caught him off guard a little bit.
And I'm telling you, this is the thing that sucks. We were so close to, if the Nuggets win this game, to screw everything else. AMB went for 60. If you win this game, you get to say, they took Joel Embiid off of Nikola Jokic.
But we don't have it.
Which is the ultimate, well, I mean, you still kind of have it in this one way. It is the ultimate concession. We saw Jokic go at Gobert year after year after year. And the time when they finally said enough, he can't guard you, or he can't guard him. Let's put Bojan Bogdanovic on Jokic and like use Rudy this way. It was the ultimate. Not long after that, they traded Rudy Gobert away because it was a concession of we can't do this. It worked for them tonight, and it's a pain that it worked for them tonight in the way that it did. But I do think that there is a silver lining to this, which is even the quote unquote best defensive center, the guy that's like the most like, oh, he can play two ways. Even they threw the towel on that in the second half. It's just a shame that Denver couldn't find a way to punish it.
Yeah, but then Jokic wasn't able to take advantage of all. Yes, you're right.
It doesn't work, though. I'm saying I don't think that that is like, oh, God, now teams are going to start putting power forwards on you. Like, come on. We've seen this before.
This stuff comes in ebbs and flows. Like, but what does worry you is the playoffs are all about adjustments, and, like, that can steal a game.
I think Michael Malone is a great adjuster between games. But I don't think he ever is in games. And this was one that was so clearly like Denver just never cracked that code.
Yeah.
I do think you got to put Aaron Gordon really in the ball. It
really sucks
handler.
Losing because of a Doc Rivers coaching adjustment.
Yeah, that's
that,
tough.
That has me down. That, like,
that's a tough
really,
one to swallow.
Really
that's
bad,
a tough one
right?
to swallow.
It's also just, I mean, in the last 2 years, you can count on one hand how many times you've seen Jokic straight up unsure of what to do against the defense, and that
it doesn't happen often. And that's why the fourth quarter was so jarring tonight.
Yeah, it leaves a. But hey, man, like that's exciting. Those are two good basketball teams pulling out.
That was
all the
a
stops,
great game.
A coach making a chess move, and like that's this is what it's about. That was fun, and yeah, I mean, you do think about long way for both teams to go between now and then, but like if that was a final series, that would be a lot of fun. It would also be the worst thing that ever happened to me.
I mean, it would happen in the finals, so it would be insane. These two teams match up again March 27th, quite a long, and Monday night on, kind of a bummer that's a Monday night. March 27th, that's an awful long time from now. That's 2 months, actually. I said 1 month. It's 2 months, but you know the thing? That game will come a lot closer to the end of the season. In fact, it's only 2 weeks before the end of the season. That game will carry even more significance and more weight to it. And this time it'll happen in Ball Arena in Denver. So it should be an interesting one. Let's take our last break. On the other side, we'll get some super chats and tie a bow on this misery of ours.
Jive Hive, guys. Jive Hive is such an awesome sponsor because they don't just sponsor our show.
No.
They're in the chat.
In the chat.
Of our watch along.
Jive Hive was jiving with us.
Yes. They were bringing the vibes up in the chat during the watch long. Shout out to Jive Hive. If you don't know what Jive Hive is, Jive Hive is a virtual dispensary on wheels.
Oh.
On wheels. Go to jivehive.com and get your order delivered same day, or you can schedule a delivery window. Jive Hive delivers and serves Aurora, Greenwood Village, Monument, Fountain. Am I saying that right? Fountain?
Yep.
Fountain Colorado? Yeah, Fountain. Okay. I don't know if it was Fountain or Fountain.
No, Fountain.
Fountain Colorado and various areas of El Paso County. Jivehive.com. JiveHyve.com. It's super convenient. You can just be chilling on your couch.
Yeah.
Go to jivehive.com.
Now might be a good time.
Get your order delivered. Yes. Post game.
Now might be a good time.
It's the perfect thing to do right before a post game lounge.
You might want to hit that QR code post haste.
Saturday, you know, you're chilling. Hit up Jive Hive. They're awesome. A virtual dispensary on wheels. Go to jivehive.com.
All right. Let's get to some super chats here, Vote. You want to read them for us?
Let's do it.
How many we got? Oh, wow. A lot of people came out.
I'm
sure they're all
positive.
A lot of people have thoughts on this game.
Ben Mack, friend of the super chatter of the show, bummed about the loss, but my belief in this squad remains unshaken.
Yeah, dude. If you are taking big takeaways about the Denver Nuggets and their chances, you need to take a step back and you need to look at a bigger picture about basketball. You need to learn to be a basketball fan.
I mean, honestly, the thing is, there's all the emotional parts of this game, but I'm telling you, the actual basketball part, yes, which nobody ever talks about, is they made an adjustment that Denver wasn't prepared for, and Denver got stymied. Denver dominated the first half. They got dominated in the second half with that adjustment, but it's not like, to me, there's not actually anything outside of that that is like a big takeaway.
Maybe who was on the floor with the bench unit, but that's
no. This is a big narrative game, and the narrative got trashed today.
No,
Denver's bench was also trashed.
I mean, listen, I don't blame anyone for being upset today. You know, it's tough. B-Ball of 405. I still had a ton of fun on the watch along shouts. Ultimately, shout out, this B-ball. Is only one game in January. Nuggets got this.
Thanks for hanging.
I love when at the end of the therapy session, people's refreshed super chats come in. Yeah. You know,
I mean, just one game. Listen, we got to flush the toxins. Yeah. This was not good, dude. We got to flush this and we got to move forward.
I spoke too soon. $5 from Rogue, whatever. Our collapsing issues are why we are still not a true contender. Second best record in the league. We'll see. William Mitchell, $10. Embiid essentially getting 50 and 20 with an MVP moment doesn't help my agenda.
Nope.
Especially when Embiid was allowing layups. Don't tell them that, William. But I'll still have to have a Nuggets versus Warriors series in the playoffs, so we'll move.
We move.
I'll still have them. Shout out, William.
Shout out, Embiid. Great game by Embiid.
Jace Ortiz. That's the top scorer in NBA in the last two seasons. That was a Herculean effort by Embiid. That happens in 3 out of 7. Doesn't beat this Nuggets squad in 7.
Dude, can you imagine a Philly-Denver finals match?
I would love that so much.
That would be the toughest 2 weeks of my life.
You think that the narrative, how draining
that would be?
Do you remember what it was like online when we were playing the Portland Trailblazers?
Online a series would be, that like nobody outside of Denver and Portland cared about.
Online will be a barren wasteland of toxicity.
Jack Bailey, $5. Going to be a very, and I mean very, long day on Twitter for Nuggets fans.
Just don't log on.
Jack, it's Saturday.
Just take the day off.
Go to the Discord.
Play a video game.
Go
read a book,
to the Discord.
Watch a movie.
All the diehards are in the Discord
right now.
Delete
the app from your phone for
text
a day.
Text that girl.
Trust me.
It's Saturday. Tyrell, Bones shot us out of the game. Jokic only shooting the ball 12 times. Stop. The ultimate bummer. Bones was atrocious, and I wanted to see Jokic want it more.
I mean, I do agree with the Jokic part of that. Jokic, 2 of 5 shooting in the second half. Like, come on, bro.
Yeah, like, come on, man. 5?
Bones could have been better. I mean, I don't know if I hang
he
it all on him.
He easily could have been better.
Yeah, come on, definitely. Man. Bones could have made some more threes. Yeah.
Chase Ortiz, again, Jokic needs to step up in big game moment, but this is not playoff Jokic. No one can keep up with our scoring through 7 games. Chase is feeling it. This is a big development. I met Big Namek at the most recent takeover, and he assured me it is, in fact, Big Namek, not Big Name K. Malone to Jeff, I can't quit you. I thought the hashtag clown shows were over, but Malone loves being the ringmaster. Weak Jokic game against mismatches, too.
No. Yep. What are you going to do? Let's see. All right, what we got next? What we got next?
James Jimmy, 3-guard lineup is Malone's problem. Always has been. Bones Jamal, BB with 164 minutes, negative 14 net rating. Bones Bruce Zeke, 169 minutes, negative 1.4 net rating.
No comment from me. I'll stay quiet.
It would have been interesting to see Christian Brown tonight.
Would it have been?
Super chat. From Traquan. Super chat. Thank you. Chase Ortiz again. Finally, for all those holding Jokic MVP tickets, be thankful this game was in January, not March. That's a whole almost second half of the season left.
I'm telling you.
Hopefully Jokic learns from this big time moment.
I don't know. This narrative is going to be tough to overcome. I'm telling you. This is exactly how it swung for Jokic last year.
$5 from ICCJR99 with the million-dollar question. I think it's the question of the day. How confident are you that the strategy Philadelphia deployed would work in a 7-game series?
I'm telling you guys, this is part of why Denver's always in 7-game series.
Yeah.
It's because Michael Malone can never adjust in
slowly.
The game, but always does eventually.
Always gets
there's
right
only
at the
so
end.
Many adjustments you can make in a series. And then by the end of it, it's like, all right, now we know what to do. So I'm telling you, I really do think it is an issue that Denver was unable to get a more coherent offense in the second half. I don't think it's like, again, Denver will learn from this.
I agree. The other thing is PJ Tucker is a dog, man. Like, PJ Tucker is a foxhole guy. He's a circle of trust guy. Yeah. He's a 16-game player. He's a beast, man. Like, that's what PJ Tucker does. There aren't a lot of PJ Tuckers, too. No.
And that's why Embiid wanted him and said as much before the offseason even started.
He's a playoff
Gordon
guy.
Gordon Glasner, still not sure. Doesn't matter. $14. Beep. That is my considered opinion and quantitative analysis. I still love my Nuggets, but ouch.
Yep, ouch is right,
ouch,
brother.
Ouch is right. Ouch is right. This right, one dude. Sucks. We have to sit in it.
Oh, we're going to sit in it, but I'm going to fill my brain with alcohol. I'm getting drunk.
It's good that it's a Saturday. It's good that it's a Saturday.
Chase Ortiz is probably going to get a call from his bank. Are these all you? They're going to ask. He's in there again with $5. 5 for 9 for 3. When MPJ is on like that, you let him shoot 5 of 13 at worst. He'll probably go 7 of 13. That's unacceptable.
Yeah.
It's one of my big things, too.
MPJ came out on fire, and they really did go away from him late.
He plays a role in that, too. I really like the way he came out in this game, though.
Great.
S. Williams.
Oh, our homie.
Salute to Embiid. He came out to play and showed he wanted it more.
Yep.
Glad I deleted the Twitter app early this week.
Smartest man. That's smart the smartest thing, man on Twitter.
It's so true. You know, Jokic wanting these, I am curious to see how he handles the next one. Because I do think that Jokic played a great game in the first half. Like, this wasn't a matter of, like, did Jokic not take this game seriously? He did. I think he got confused by the adjustment and then never, like, was able to, like, get his rhythm again. But I don't. This idea that he didn't want the game or something, he just came up small. I mean, I don't know what else to say. I think it's more he came up small than didn't want it.
Yeah, but it was even, like, the body language in the fourth from him. It was just, like, pretty timid, I felt like. Pretty soft.
You're going to have to solve P.J. Tucker now.
Michael Radvesky. The narrative has flipped after this game. It's going to take an Embiid-like killer mentality from Jokic for the rest of the way for him to go three-time. We'll find out. Boken, Bruce, the juice.
Bruce the juice.
Juicing energy. Juice. Get it?
I like that one, actually.
All right, Bruce the juice.
I approve.
Doesn't that sound like he's taking steroids?
Yeah.
Benny, 1994, reminding us, you guys, Jokic didn't have a fresh haircut. We're fine.
I know, dude.
He does need a haircut really bad.
Not only did he not have a fresh haircut, I don't think he, like, showered before the game or anything.
You know what? I'm just going to say it. The quote about the suits at home. It's a lot more powerful when you, like, I don't know, wash your fucking hair on the road.
I know.
Does he even start wearing suits on the road?
Yo.
That's a legit question.
How Jokic didn't come out with a fresh haircut, I was
on the road. He can't get his haircut on the road.
I'm telling you, you need a special barber to shave your head?
Absolutely.
Unbelievable.
Can you just go to any barber in Philly and just
sit
down?
Shave your head. Like, hey, he's like, give me that job.
I'm two-time MVP.
He actually probably shouldn't go to any barbers in Philly.
Yeah,
that's actually not a freaking way. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Mike Wilson, $10. Wife gave me a hall pass to come watch the Saturday game. I don't think you know what a hall pass means. Bar looks great, fellas. Thanks for coming to say what's up. Eric, all Nuggets are still good. Minus maybe Jeff Green. Mike, I'm sorry I didn't see you, man.
Yeah, I hung out. I'm a man of the people. Went and shook his hand. Chatted him up.
Man of the people who threw a fit and stormed off of the watch alone.
I had to go be with the people.
I'm glad you were. I'm glad you were.
I could not listen to early cheers for this game.
I'm with you. That was
unacceptable.
Boken, we're going to end. Bosun, Boken, I don't know. We're going to end on a good note here. Thank you guys for the platform and for creating the community. If we don't love each other at our worst, then we don't deserve each other at our yokemas. Beautifully said.
Yo, hit the like. We're low on likes. We know you don't like what happened today, but come on.
What else we got?
That's it.
All right, hit that outro music, Kale.
Oh man,
these do. Do you have more?
Nah, it's fine.
Go for it.
It's fine. That's fine.
The outro song's long.
No, it's fine. It's fine.
I want to hear it.
No, it's fine. I don't want it. I'll save it. I'll save it for next week.
All right. We do have more shows next week. The Nuggets go 1-2 on this road trip. They lose to Milwaukee. They lose to the 76ers. They do get the win, though. Thank God they got that, like,
oh God,
safety Pelican's win. Yeah, Pelicans win, man. That they almost didn't get. Nuggets in a little bit of a, like, they were playing their best ball, like, 2 weeks ago.
Right.
And a little bit of a guys in and out, like, not a great rhythm here. Hopefully they can establish that. They've got two tough opponents coming in, New Orleans and then, of course, Golden State. Both of those games will be tough for Denver as they turn the page. But
are these on the road or are these
home? They're at home.
Let's go.
But
haircut.
You know what? This is part about being a fan. You get these incredible highs, but you also get these lows. This one, to me, definitely feels, I don't want to say the lowest of the year because we were so, like, not believing in the team early on, and that was lower.
It still may be opening night.
It's better now that I believe in the team. They just came up small for me in a moment when we really wanted it. But you know what? Those are the ebbs and flows. What does Ariana, the good witch, say? Ride the sea of life.
The sea of life, baby.
We are right now on a
We're in a nadir.
Yeah, we really are. We're like wiping. We're like surfers just wiping out right now.
Oh, bro.
Eating some salt water.
At least it's Saturday.
Thank you guys for hanging out with us, though, here in this Loser's Lounge for an entire hour. Hit that like button for us.
Let's get drunk. We'll see you.